Thanks for joining us on the Freelance Mum podcast. I'm Faye Dicker, and don't forget, you can make a date with us every Wednesday on the Freelance Mum online coffee morning or at a local Nettalk near you. Come and try us out for free for 30 days at freelancemum.co.uk. Hi there, and welcome to the Freelance Mum podcast. I'm Faye, founder of Freelance Mum, voiceover artist and mum to two gorgeous girls. I thought I'd start today by talking about the balancing act, navigating freelancing and motherhood. And let's face it, it's one of the hot topics as a freelance mum, as it's one of the biggest challenges. So in today's podcast, we're going to be touching on the following points: time management, self-care, building a support system, flexible work arrangements, and overcoming challenges. These are the main points for today's podcast, so keep listening as we start chatting. First things first then, time management. Let's face it, time is of the essence when you're a busy freelance mum, because you don't get sick pay or holiday pay in either role as a freelancer or as a mother. So that means you really do need to, as the old saying goes, work smart and not work hard. It's really important that you carve out the right amount of time and allocate it to the right amount of tasks. Come up with a strategy and a way in which to manage your workload. For a start, have you looked at how many available working days there actually are in each term time? Now, believe it or not, even though my eldest is now at secondary school, it was only this year that I was sitting down with fellow freelance mum Lucy Gray, and she had printed out the entire year's timetable. Now, nothing too shocking in that, but what she had very sensibly done was written the available working days per month. And when you sit and look at it like that, it makes you realise how little time there is available. I mean, yep, let's face it, we all know there's a 6-week holiday when it comes to August, and then there's going to be a couple of weeks around April. But had you really taken the time to sit down and count out how many working days there are? If you do, you're going to be in for a shock when you see just how many working days there are in May. And when you look at that, and you look at how many jobs it is that you're trying to do, it really does make you think, I need to start working smart. And if your children are at preschool age, and maybe they're not into the official school holidays, this can be both a good and bad thing, in inverted commas, because one, when you're in possibly, say, preschool and the formalities of that, you're not going to be affected by the school holidays in quite the same way. It may be that actually, at the moment, this is a good thing, and that, you know, you can pop them into childcare, and that can work to your favour. Or it might be that actually, you're still, you know, in a much more relaxed, informal childcare setting and relying on the good nature of relatives. Whichever way it is, whatever point your children are at and your business is at, is really important actually to take a look at the time available, the working time available to you each month, and then sit and have a look at what it is that you're trying to achieve. Now, this kind of also moves into flexible work arrangements, which is our fourth point in the podcast, but I think we're going to tap on it here as well. Do take time to actually think, what are the big overarching goals? What are the things that you're setting out to achieve in your work? And then trying to break that down into bite-sized steps in order to be able to achieve them. That way, if you've just got half an hour here or 1 hour there or a particularly short working month, you know that you can still be effective when it comes to breaking up your very precious working time. I always joke about the wonky working week as a freelance mum, and I say it because it's true. And one of the things that I have to remind myself is that part of being a freelance mum is that because it's a lifestyle choice for me, I like the flexibility that it gives me. I choose to pick up and take my children to school. Those are options that I have made. And also there are days where I'm going to make time to go for a swim in the middle of the day, because that is part of being a freelancer. But it doesn't mean I'm slacking, and it doesn't mean I'm dropping a ball. What it does mean is that I'm choosing to make the work work for me. If I choose to work wonky hours, then that is my choice. I do not expect other people to reply to me if I send an email at 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening. But similarly, I make sure that I work out times when I am in my creative zone of genius. And it's really important that you work these things out. You might be a night owl, or perhaps you're an early bird. Whatever it is, and whenever it is that you find you work most effectively, make sure that you plot that time and allocate the tasks accordingly. For example, would you take the morning or the afternoon to attack a big, meaty piece of work? Well, chances are, if you're anything like me, the morning is when you're going to be firing on all cylinders a little bit more effectively as opposed to hitting the afternoon slump. So make sure that you're picking up those pieces of work and working effectively. The other thing to remember when it comes to time management is that it doesn't matter how much time allocated, the chances are you're never going to have enough time. So make sure that you underschedule your work rather than overschedule. Now that can be a tricky one when you're an ambitious freelance mum and you're trying to achieve lots of goals and you care and you're passionate about your business. But reality, a big healthy serving of reality within all your big audacious dreams is really important. So make sure that you do keep check of the dreams, but also very importantly, keep your eye on just how much time really truly is available. And when it comes to running a household, is it a case of divide and conquer? You know, can you share out some of those tasks around the house, which might give you that extra 1 hour that you need just to wrap up some of those emails or maybe to schedule? Do you find batch working a more effective way of working, or would you rather just pick off one or two individual tasks? The point is making it work for you and your household. Number two, this is an all-important one, and arguably it should be at the top. Self-care. Now, as a freelancer, as we already said in point one, you're not going to receive, and as a mother, sick pay or holiday pay as a result of being off sick. So taking charge of your self-care is one of the most important things that you can do. Don't wait until you are already depleted. I've got so much to say on this subject. It's one that's really close to my heart. So when it comes to being drained and likewise filling our spiritual cups, and for spiritual cup, fill that or call that whatever you want. That might mean going for a swim. It might be connecting with a different community. It could be being part of a church or a choir. Whatever that thing is, however it is that it gives and it recharges you, that is also the thing that takes the longest to deplete. And as a result of that, we can be in danger of finding ourselves burning out because we haven't been filling our cups enough. It's a well-known saying, and it's one that I find particularly helpful, but you can't pour from an empty cup. So as a freelancer and as a mother, and you're trying to serve so many people in your community, in your household, in your clients, so make sure that you are always making time for you. It's absolutely number one. And, you know, it is the most unselfish thing that you can do is taking time for yourself. And it doesn't have to be a big, you know, 3 hour round trip to the gym. It can be as simple as just taking 10 minutes out, turning off all devices, just doing some breathing exercises. It could just be making a cup of tea. It might just be going for a walk around the block. It doesn't matter what it is. Self-care is really, really important. And self-care can be messy. Self-care can also be, actually, I really do need to tackle this bit of life admin. This thing that has been neglected on my desk forever because it's really causing me a good deal of distress. Self-care is that thing that makes you feel in check. It makes you feel as though you can continue to carry on and be your amazing, bright and bubbly self. And that is one of the most important things as a freelancer and as a freelance mum. Okay, let's move on to number three, and that's building a support system. Now, it's really, really important that you do have a support system in place, both offline, in person, and whatever that looks like to you. Now, when you think about it, a support system, I would imagine you're probably going to start by looking at your own household. Chances are, hopefully, fingers crossed, you've got a supportive partner who you can help divide out the tasks. But we need more than just that one person in our life. And we're also going to have friends as well, aren't we? We're going to pick up lots of friends along the way. But when it comes to juggling motherhood around freelancing life, it's a really specific niche. So it's really important that you do find your people who can relate to where you're at, the people that you can walk into a room, whether it's a virtual room or it's a real life room, and they just get it. They just know where you are. They're on the same page. You don't have to explain yourself because they get it. You can be unapologetically you. You know, you can say, oh my goodness, my child is off sick. I've got a deadline. And it's a piece of work that actually I really, really want to do. And they can just offer support in a way that no other person is going to understand. There is no boundary. They do understand. And finding those like-minded individuals for advice, for the collaboration, for emotional support is really, really important. And I cannot stress that one enough. And that's almost guaranteed, isn't it, coming from me, you know, making sure that you build in a support system. But let's face it, let's go back to the roots now, because this is how Freelance Mum started. It was born of my own need of being a busy freelance voiceover artist, then suddenly juggling motherhood into the mix. And it was so blooming challenging, and I couldn't find anyone else like me. And I thought, if it doesn't exist, then I'm just going to have to create it. And that's why we have this amazing, thriving community of fellow mums in business. And if you've not become part of that business yet, and if you're a fellow freelance mum who's struggling, please do check out the website. Don't struggle on your own, and just come and start your 30-day taster session. But I'm not here to do a sell. Genuinely, I'm not. I'm here to help you navigate freelancing and motherhood. And that's why that support system is one of the most important things that you can do. And I say that I really encourage as well that you find a support system that's both there online, it's there in person, because there are going to be occasions when your child gets sick. There are going to be occasions where actually you don't have the time, as luxurious and as wonderful as it sounds, to get in the car, catch a bus and go meet someone in person. Your time isn't on your side. You need to work smart here. Remember what we were saying in the point number one about time management. You need to work smart, and you need to make sure that all your systems are in place to work really, really effective around you, your amazing business and your amazing family. Okay, number four, flexible work arrangements. Now, one of the great things about being a freelance mum is that you are freelance, and I have kind of touched on it a bit in points one and points two, but there are distinct advantages of being a freelance mum, and make sure that you flex them. You know, you've got the ability to create flexible working arrangements that do take into account parenting, that do allow you to go to the school plays, the school assemblies, to whiz back and drop off the PE kit when you suddenly get that phone call from the school, or worse still, you know, your child's off sick. And it's really, really important to make sure that you make the most of those flexible work arrangements. And so as a result of that, make sure that you don't pack out every single minute of every single day with up to the wire working, because you are going to be picking up bits and pieces. That's part of that role. That's part of that lifestyle choice. It's only recently, and you might think, my goodness me, Faye, how have you been going for this long and not cottoned onto this? But I've made a point of saying, I'm going to have a lunch break. Now, it doesn't matter what that lunch break looks like. It might be that that lunch break is sitting down and eating your sandwiches. It might be that you want to watch, there used to be a freelance mum who would avidly watch Home and Away, and I loved her for it. It might be that you want to listen to your favourite podcast, or go for a walk, or just stop. But it is really, really important that you do factor in that lunch break. It doesn't matter what it looks like to you. It matters that it works for you, because it's by doing that that you can start to create a realistic working day. Okay, now finally, and this is really important, overcoming challenges. This is my fifth and final point today, because when it comes to being a freelance mum, there are so many pros, but there are also some challenges as well. And I don't want to call them cons, but it is the reality of that balancing act. You know, some of the common challenges that you're typically going to be picking up are going to be, for example, poorly children. Now, that's always a challenge. You're pulled in all directions. Your child is poorly, and you've got a piece of work that you're desperate to do. So let's start right at the very beginning by managing client expectations. Make sure you build in that extra lead time. Make sure that you are realistic, that you do not want to underdeliver when you take on that piece of work. Let's go back to that point number one. Look at realistically how many available working days and working hours there actually are in which that you can take on this particular piece of work. It's really important that you factor that in. So make sure that you are managing client expectations really well. Interruptions. I don't just mean a child being off sick. Child's off sick, okay, you know that this child is now going to be at home maybe 1 to 3 days. Did you know that on average a child is sick for, I think it's 3 days a year? So kind of mentally factor that one in. But also interruptions. the doorbell is going to ring at some point if you're working from home. Are you going to be the person who can turn a blind eye to your house in chaos while you're working? Or are you somebody who just needs to work more efficiently and more effectively by working at a hot desk, a co-working space? Make sure that you create an effective way in which you can work, because this is paramount for you working in a really, you know, the way that works best for you. Are you going to make sure that you have like a creative little corner from home where you tick off little tasks? Or when it's a big meaty task, are you going to go off and book yourself a space? Whatever it is, make sure that you deal with that. I don't want to say these words, but I think this is really important, and it's something that I've suffered with as well. And it's guilt and self-doubt. And as freelance mums, we do have that. The mum guilt is a real thing. And I didn't even know it existed until I gave birth to my eldest daughter, Jemima. And almost instantaneously, the guilt set in. And it doesn't go and it doesn't leave you. And it's there for good reason, but it doesn't always serve you. And it's really important to just, you know, park it. Okay, thanks, mum guilt. You've reminded me of something, but I don't need to take you with me. Forget that guilt. There are times when you are going to be pulled, when you are going to feel as though I love my child and I love my work and I want to be there for everything and I want to do everything. No guilt there. No guilt. Do not feel less a mother or less a professional for having a child and for having your own business. You have nothing to feel guilty of. And self-doubt, oh, those blooming chimps, those blooming monkeys. And they do get on your back at 4 o'clock in the morning, don't they? And that is their job. And they can be flipping annoying. And what I would say when it comes to chimps, especially if you hear them at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's the worst time. But make sure that you have someone that you can speak to. I find voice notes a really, really useful way in which to share my emotions and to share my feelings. And, you know, if you're at a point in your career where you can have a business coach or a life coach or a mentor, and if not that, just an accountability buddy. And I don't even mean just, I mean an accountability buddy or a good friend. Again, we're referring back now to this network of support that you can check in with, that you can share those self-doubts, that you can share those feelings in a safe space. And it's really, really important that you do that and that you call out those feelings. And chances are, once you've articulated those feelings, you will actually feel much better, because it's as you articulate them and you give them a name, you can say, okay, I've named that feeling. I know how I feel and I don't need to lean into that anymore. Something that I do if I voice note with some people is that I will voice note and I will actually then listen back to my voice note, depending on what the voice note is, because it can actually really help clarify my own thoughts. And when I listen back to it again, I think, yeah, that's right. That's where I'm at. Self-doubt is a really challenging thing. And it's a really normal thing. And I think it's important to normalize that and to know that as a business owner, when you're trying to be the face of your business, but actually you're making lots and lots of decisions every day, self-doubt is normal. Don't let it creep in too much. It does have a place. Call it out and then put it back again. You know, don't let too much doubt step in. Create rules. We have to make so many decisions every single day. There's a stat to back this up, of which I've forgotten. And it can be exhausting making decisions, but it's far more helpful if you create rules or boundaries. For example, I will have only one cup of coffee a day, or I will do my exercise before 7 o'clock every morning, or whatever that rule or boundary is, it's there. It's instantly taken out that question of, shall I or shan't I go for a run? Do I, don't I want this cup of coffee? Have a spending limit on your marketing budget or just what you want to do for spends. Instantly, that helps with that decision-making process, which isn't quite so mentally as exhausting. These are some practical tips and advice that I really hope can help you overcome challenges and really help you to thrive when it comes to juggling your really important business around motherhood. And let's face it, don't forget that as fellow freelancers, we are doing such an important role. We are contributing to the microeconomy. We are creative, individual, free thinkers. And therefore, it's vital that we have these support systems in place in order to make the most of our amazing careers and maximize and enjoy motherhood. I hope you found this useful, and don't forget to drop me a line with any of your top tips for navigating freelancing around motherhood. Thanks for joining us on the Freelance Mum podcast. I'm Faye Dicker, and don't forget, you can make a date with us every Wednesday on the Freelance Mum online coffee morning or at a local NetTalk near you. Come and try us out for free for 30 days at freelancemum.co.uk.